Morning, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. It never ceases to amaze me. Brother John had no idea, or still doesn't, what I'm going to talk about. And yet the hymns that he chose, the first hymn especially, I couldn't have picked a better hymn to fit in with the exhortation that I'm going to give. So John, thank you. The exhortation that I'm going to speak on this morning is on the readings that we did a little while ago. Our recent readings of Jeremiah reveal the extent to which Israel had lapsed into gross idolatry and immorality. And when we read Jeremiah chapter 36, it epitomizes this, and a message was given to the nation by the prophet, warning of coming judgment, and yet they refused to hear. And of those who initially heard the word, it is written in verse 16, and when they heard all the words, they were afraid, both one another, and said to Baruch, "We will surely tell the king of all these words." And it is written through another prophet in another place, "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word." And in Jeremiah, those men that demonstrated this acceptable spirit and considered the matter to be an issue of national importance and to which the king should also give heed. But the king, however, was of an entirely different spirit. He had the word read out before him, yet he'd only read about three or four pages, and it says, and he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. In these events, we have illustrated the great enmity which exists between God and man, the way of flesh against the way of spirit. Time and time again throughout history, the revelation of God has been considered too damaging to be of vested interest of the hierarchy. From the rulers who, like Jehoiakim, sought to destroy the word, having Bibles burned, to the false prophets who seek to obscure its meaning by producing a watered-down translation and presenting a false message. The flesh has always been in opposition to the things of the spirit. And here is the root of the reason identified in Scripture. It says, "Yet they were not afraid." This is the natural man, fearless in the belief that he will not be called upon to give an account of himself. And the apostle in Romans testifies to this. It says, "The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. And so they blunder forward in their blindness until they and their followers trip and fall into the ditch. The prophet himself, however, displays a very different kind of spirit. While cleaning out the temple at the instigation of King Josiah, a copy of the word was found. And it says, "Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.'" How tragic that what was the written word was lost in the very place it should have epitomized holiness and sanctification. The nation had all but lost the word. Such were the depth of apostasy into which the nation had sunk. And Hilkiah, it would appear, was Jeremiah's father, who would therefore have ready access to the book. And this is how Jeremiah referred to the situation in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Yahweh Elohim of armies." And like the Apostle Paul, Jeremiah delighted in the law of the Lord. And he says in Romans chapter 7 verse 22, he's eagerly participating of them as a hungry man devours his food. He says, I did eat them, was his testimony. His spiritual senses delighting in the experience. Indeed, the psalmist exhorts in the same manner. He says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man who trusts in him. This passage from Psalm 34 is cited by Peter as he moved by the Spirit to add a further revelation. And he says, as a newborn babe desiring the unadulterated milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Here the exhortation is for the man of the Spirit to humble himself and to partake of the spiritual nutrition of the word, the word is able to impart as a children on the mother's breast, laying aside all prejudice and fleshly wisdom. He simply drinks in that which the Lord has provided for him to meet his needs. Mark chapter 10 verses 14 and 15 recount the master's teaching in a similar vein. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. The characteristic of children in terms of their learning and trust towards their parents is something to be developed within those who become begotten of the word, having the Lord as their father. And King Solomon recognized this, and it is most edifying to consider his example. We see how the Lord appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask what I shall give you. How much would man of the flesh delight in such an offer? You know, ask whatever you will. What do you desire to have? Solomon, however, was a man who delighted in spiritual things and recognized his position before Almighty God. And he said, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Fearing before the Lord, the God of his father David, Solomon trusted in the promises made concerning him. He recognized the extent of mercy that he had been appointed a king over all of God's people, and his desire was for the things of the kingdom, for the good of the people. And unlike a natural child approaching his natural father, Solomon asked for nothing for himself in terms of material things. He goes on, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? By seeking first the affairs of the kingdom, all the things that he had not asked for were given to him. He goes on, God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall rise any like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, with riches and honour, so that there shall be not any among the kings like unto thee or in all thy days. This would appear to be echoed by our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 6. And speaking of all of the way in which the lilies of the field were in glory and in appearance, Christ alluded to Solomon and his unasked for glory. Christ says, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. He then proceeds to command his disciples, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Here is the example of Solomon, an example speaking of greater things to come, Like a child, Solomon sought the wisdom to administer in the kingdom, and all else would be given to him also. Brothers and sisters, we seek the kingdom of our God, trusting that all else that we need will be given to us, trusting in the words of the Messiah, which follows, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take the thoughts for itself, for the things of itself." Though it's a fundamental truth that believers in Christ ought to develop, grow and mature as time goes by in their walk towards the kingdom, it is also true that certain childlike qualities should remain. This is what the apostle teaches. "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be children, but in understanding be men." And it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Like Solomon, we are to seek and to grow in wisdom. But in terms of the development of malicious and destructive spirit, we are to be as little children, being educated in better things. We saw earlier how that in the days of Josiah, the word was found and eaten by Jeremiah, the high priest's son. Josiah also humbled himself before it, and his example is also an exhortation for us to consider. In 2 Kings 22, we read, "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Having rent his clothes, he sought after the word of God through the prophetess by the name of Huldah. She commended his approach to the word in this way: Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee and said, says the Lord, Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place." And they brought the king word again. So it was that because of this penitent attitude and humility of mind, Josiah would not experience the terrible judgments that come upon the people. Having heard the word, Josiah showed himself to be a man of activity. And he recounts how he sought to purge the nation of idolatry and re-establish the kingdom temple worship as ordained of old. And in verse 2 in 2 Kings 23, and in verse 2 describes how he read the word out of the Lord to the people, both small and great. And verse 3 describes how he made a covenant before the Lord to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And chapter 23, verse 2 and 3 of 2 Kings, Josiah thus establishes a law that the people would serve their God in the appointed way. Again we read, "And the king commanded all the people, saying, Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover since the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah." And yet again we read, "And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like unto him." Truly, Josiah was a great and righteous king. He commanded that the newly discovered book must lay the foundation for the nation's development. He commanded that such a great Passover be kept, and so great as has not been kept before since the days of Judges. But righteousness cannot be legislated for. True righteousness is from the heart, not by simply obeying a law. So it was that after Josiah left the scene, the nation slumped back into what is arguably one of the darkest days of apostasy under the reign of Zedekiah. We noted earlier that the word was lost to the nations, even being lost in the temple itself. But once it was found, it was sought for by men of the Spirit. And there is a pattern here followed in the ministry of our Lord. Speaking of Zacchaeus, Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And as a shepherd, Christ sought the lost sheep of Israel, seeking to turn their hearts back to the way of their fathers. "Of them which had thou gavest me, I have lost none," he said. "For those whose heart are in the house of God, they are not lost, but found by the great shepherd that loves all of his sheep to the extent of laying down his life for them." And again in the parable of Luke chapter 15, we read, "What woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently till she finds it?" You notice, though, that the point here, that the silver was not lost outside. It was lost in the house to be sought for diligently. Can it be said of our own ecclesia that the word is lost within it? Can it be said, you know, that sometimes we neglect things that shouldn't be neglected? Not in terms of the physical presence of a Bible. Getting hold of a copy of the Bible is perhaps easier now than it is at any other age in history. But finding men and women willing to accept what the Bible teaches, that is another matter entirely. Those who seek diligently for a correct understanding of the gospel that saves will surely find it, according to the wisdom and purpose of God. In considering the various ways that men react to the written word, we must not neglect to mention our approach to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1 verse 14, he's described as the Word made flesh, which means that we ought to seek instruction from him and from the written word. He is the bread of life, sent to nourish his followers in spiritual things. And he taught, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Brethren and sisters, we come each Sunday to memorialize our absent master by eating some of the bread and drinking some of the wine. Truly, in these things, we taste and we see that the Lord is good. It was in the abundance of his mercy that an arm of salvation has been extended to those who would grasp it and be lifted out of the mire of humanity. Not belonging to this world, we do not seek the things of this world, but rather the principle by which the Messiah's future kingdom will be founded. Let us, in our sweet remembrance, consider our own need to give attendance to the doctrine, searching for the word, or more accurately, searching the teaching of the word. We desire to be present when an even greater Passover will be kept, and when Israel's kingdom shall be extended across the globe. We must therefore give attention to the word, for it is the only one that contains words of eternal life.